As you know, earlier today, I had a different sermon during our service than the one I had originally planned in order to be able to do due diligence to the death of Floyd George and our need, or George Floyd, excuse me, and our need to address the racism that our nation and our church faces. And so I promised that I would offer the other sermon that I had originally planned, and so that's what I'm about to deliver for you now. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As we wrap up our journey through the Acts of the Apostles, we find ourselves with one last earmark for Easter people, one that makes us Pentecost people too. As Christians, we are to demonstrate Spirit-empowered witness. Our lives, our words, and actions need to be constant signposts pointing others to Jesus. If people can't see Jesus when they get to know us, then we're not living up to the high calling our Savior has for each one of us. Pentecost, or Shavuot, the Jewish feast that took place 50 days after Passover, was primarily a harvest festival in biblical times. In the Jewish tradition since, it has also become the celebration of the giving of the law of Moses. But a mere 10 days after Jesus' ascension 2 millennia ago, that wasn't the primary focus. It was about bringing the first fruits of the harvest as an offering of thanks to the temple. Picture what Thanksgiving Day is supposed to be, and you get something close to the meaning of Pentecost back then. But as Acts 2 describes things, some amazing stuff happens that reshaped what Pentecost would mean to followers of Jesus. On that particular Pentecost, an influx of 3,000 new souls joined the crew who were eagerly praying for the gift of the Spirit that Jesus had promised. If you keep reading Acts 2 past where our appointed lesson ended, you'll find the powerful sermon that Peter gave that convinced a large part of the crowd to begin following Jesus. And by the end of that sermon, thousands came to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This was a different kind of harvest, the harvest Jesus alluded to in his teaching. Not mowing down the grain to be put in a barn, but bringing people into the kingdom of God. The harvest Jesus promised was that of people coming to know him and become part of his heavenly family by faith. But the harvest of souls being brought out of life into death, out of darkness into light, that doesn't happen on its own. Jesus has called those who know and love him to be laborers in the fields of the Lord. When Jesus implored us to pray the Lord to send workers into the harvest, he wasn't giving his people an out. He was trying to stir them up to volunteer, to step up, to make themselves available with whatever skills, personalities, and relationships they already had, so that those who love him might seek out others for Jesus to show his love to. We should still pray, because we can't do it alone. But none of us gets a free pass from sharing the good news of our loving Lord. Of course, that's not an easy sell to the average Episcopalian. If I mention Bishop Charles McIlvain or the Reverend Charles Simeon, you'll likely give me blank stares. These two men, one American and one English respectively, were luminaries of their day in the Anglican world, who were instrumental in spreading the gospel with the kind of fervor we might think belongs to Baptists alone. They were evangelists and inspired others to be evangelists. They wanted everyone they met to have the chance to hear the good news that the God who made them loved them enough to send Jesus to rescue them from sin and death and to fill us with the Spirit so we can enjoy his wondrous grace. They wanted people to have a transformation from the heart so that they fell in love with Jesus as the lover of their souls. Whether we realize it or not, we are beneficiaries of the hard work of men and women like them throughout the centuries. In every age, there have been people unashamed of the gospel. There have been people whose devotion to Jesus inspired others to follow Jesus for themselves. And the Spirit is wooing us to be people whose lives of faith are so compelling that others will turn to Jesus just like we did. On the day of Pentecost, physical signs and wonders abounded. A powerful wind whose source was supernatural, preaching being understood in the native tongues of people from all over the known world at the time, the visible fire of God's blessing resting on each disciple. In our passage, God alerts the people on pilgrimage in Jerusalem at that time that something special is going on. The good news is about to be preached, and the Maker of heaven and earth is summoning all to come hear this message, a message of a God who is willing and able to save us from our deepest woes. Who knows how the Spirit might alert those around you to the importance of the message you've been called to share. It's not like God stopped doing miracles once the Bible was written, no matter what doubters may say. There's no limit to how God can shine his glorious light through your life if you have the courage to cooperate with the Spirit. A simple prayer request can turn into a miraculous healing. An offhand conversation with a stranger could inspire them to turn to Jesus. A good deed or phone call to a lonely neighbor might just keep them from suicide. If earlier they asked God for a sign that day, that shows that he loves them. You are a vital link in the chain of communication, the sharing of the message of God's love through Jesus Christ. You have a part to play in the spread of the gospel. Whether it's with fanfare or in quietness, your witness can make a difference in someone's life. And every life that trusts in Jesus as a result is a miracle beyond words to describe. During Coronatide, as one of my clergy friends called this odd time we're living in right now, the Spirit has not stopped working, and the gospel is still going out. That means you can do simple things to share the love of Jesus. You can touch base with someone who you haven't seen in a while. You can pray for someone who is struggling. If you're healthier than most, you can do an errand for someone at greater risk to this virus that's going around. You can certainly invite people to watch services with you online. You can give to the parish and other ministries that are making a difference while people are out of work right now. If you don't know what to do, pray and ask the Holy Spirit, "What shall I do, Lord?" I guarantee the Spirit will direct or nudge you in some way if you're paying attention. One of the side benefits of bearing witness to Christ is that it encourages you. You get a sense of hope, of purpose, of belonging to something greater than you. You are an ambassador for Christ's kingdom. If you feel like a mere consumer, not able to do anything, start with prayer and see how the Spirit might be leading you to serve, then act on those directives. You'll have a greater resolve and a greater sense of direction if you don't hold back. Social safety doesn't have to mean solitary confinement. Take the initiative, however small, to show the love of Jesus to someone today. And if they ask you why you bothered, you can simply say, "Jesus loves you, and so do I." Let us pray. Ever-living God, whose will it is that all should come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, inspire our witness to him, that all may know the power of his forgiveness and the hope of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.